Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Ken Keltner, and I'm filling in for Pastor Greg, who is on vacation and just finishing up a time of discussion with my four sons that are back. Three have graduated from college. One is a sophomore, and he's also a reserve in the Army. And so we've been talking. Our discussions have kind of gone all the way from, you know, God at work in their lives and opportunities with the gospel to mission trips and where college-age young people are. Since, Keith, that's kind of been your ministry where you're working at right now. I thought on one broadcast we talked a little bit about the book of The Unlikely Disciple by Kevin Rouse. He went to a Christian university and he wrote a book from his experience there. And, Keith, you made a comment about what kids have to do with that book at Akron University.
At Akron University, I was talking with one of the freshman girls about how school's been going. She said she had a big paper to write, and I asked her what it was on, and it was on that book. And she said all the freshmen, it's one of their gen eds in the English, they have to read that book and write a paper on it. And they're going more on the side of how it was written and also kind of the hypocrisy out there, because these professors are really trying to kind of brainwash, in a sense, everything that they've learned growing up.
And if you've not read that book, you would think that being around a group of Christians, that this Kevin, the author of this book, would have come to Christ. But I hate to blow it for you, but the end of the book, he does not come to Christ. And part of it was all the hypocrisy that he saw. We talked a little bit about teens rebelling, you know, because you guys have all been working with teens. Teens rebelling against relationships, and that was a one aspect, was the whole spirit of hypocrisy. So, Kevin, you have something you want to share here.
Well, just a lot of people have asked when they find out that my dad's a pastor, they say, well, that's kind of impressive that you've ended up in the ministry as well. And then I tell them that I've got three brothers doing it. So they always are asking questions about how you and mom raised us. And one question they always ask is, did you ever resent being in a ministry family and having that pressure on you? And I always tell them that, you know, it's by the grace of God, but I think my mom and dad did a great job of not putting the ministry or us. There wasn't this, are we going to choose the ministry or family right now? But I thought you guys did a great job of including us into the ministry. I remember you bringing us into work. And through that, we were able to see how much fun ministry could be. And then you'd have people over to the house, or, you know, you'd want to go witness to somebody. You'd bring us right along with you. And we were able to kind of experience it firsthand and not feel like we were missing out on dad because he was married to the church.
Yeah. And you know what? That is a passion for me here, for folks who work with teens or work with our college or do children's activities or even adult, that they bring their kids along, because that's why kids start resenting ministry is, well, mom and dad are going to do ministry and we have to be at home with the babysitter tonight. And I'm like, no. I remember, you know, I would lead trips to, you know, amusement parks, mission trips. I usually try to have some of you guys along for all of those kind of trips. So I think incorporating all the family and ministry is critical to make kids not resent it, you know, because you're right there with your mom and dad. Kyle.
Yeah, one thing, as we were talking, one thing that I really appreciate just about my parents was just the fact that there is a huge pressure if you are a mother or a father of raising, you know, a young person up can be quite a task and responsibility. And something that I was always encouraged by is, you know, we're not perfect, that we do make mistakes. And something that my dad and mom would always do is, you know, when they would make a mistake or when something happened, they would always come back and
The very few times.
Mom never makes a mistake.
No, but if they did, to come back and just apologize and set things right, it was a good principle for us to learn and good principle for us to really experience firsthand.
You know, I remember one time we were at camp, and you were young, Kyle, and we were up at Northland Camp, and they were doing a drama. And in this drama, it was showing a Christian family that was acting pretty dysfunctional. They were yelling and screaming at each other. And I was a little cocky, and I looked over at you, and I said, hey, Kyle, aren't you glad that you don't have to see all of that lived out at your house? And I was kind of patting myself on the back, thinking how wonderful and great, you know, that you don't have to see that. And all of a sudden, you tap me on the shoulder, and you go, Dad, there was a time I saw you angry at Mom in the kitchen. And I go, you did? And you, yeah, you were kind of at Mom like that. And I go, you remember that? And you go, yeah, I do remember that, Dad. You were really mad at Mom. And so I said, well, hey, I need to make that right with you, and I need to make it right with Mom. I remember when I would have to make something right with you guys, which could be pretty regular. Okay, that's the word I was looking
for. Yeah, we usually got a meal every week.
Well, I want to make sure you get fed, but there were times when I knew I needed to make things right. I'd call home and tell your mom. I'd say, hey, tell the boys we'll have a little picnic out in the back, and I'm going to bring home Taco Bell. And I'd get home, and she'd say, oh, they were loving it. They're jumping up and down, out giving each other high fives in the backyard, going, Dad's bringing home Taco Bell. Dad needs to apologize. Dad needs to apologize. And Dad needed to apologize, make some things right, so I just brought Taco Bell along. So, anything, Keith, you had something there?
Yeah, I was going to say, as you're sharing about having your kids go along with you, I mean, that's super important, but I think something else that was huge was when Mom wouldn't be able to go with you, she would stay home with us. She definitely did a great job of parenting us, raising us up in not only God's word, but also being able to confront and correct us when we misbehaved. And that's something I see more and more parents start to avoid because of the hardships that go with that.
Can I tell you, discipline is not easy. You know, it's usually a hassle. But that's probably one thing you guys really do need to be thankful for. Your mom was not a wimp. You know, anytime I see, you know, we have families here that have all boys, and I'll look at them, I'll say, I'll tell you one thing about mothers with all boys. Mothers of all boys are not wimps. I mean, they are tough. And one woman looked at me, and she goes, let's go to another T word. We're not just tough, we're tired. And, yeah, you had a mom who was not going to let stuff slide, and, you know, her expectation level didn't come down when Dad was gone. So that's something you ought to give thanks for, because it'd be so easy to say, let it go. I'll deal with it next time or whatever. And consistency with that. So.
We were usually more thankful when Dad had to do the disciplining than Mom. We're a little more fearful of her.
She's a little bit tougher with that paddle. However, she was always on my case for breaking the paddles usually. Kurt, you have anything you want to add?
Oh, yeah, with those spankings, those probably helped me the most, getting them all the time for doing something dumb. But, you know, I remember when you were going through the process of naming the head pastor at Brookside, I remember one person asked you, you know, well, what's your personal devotions like or something? I was like, well, only if that guy really knew, because I know you weren't going to answer it. You know, you said it, but waking up every morning, I just see you on your knees before you did anything else, you know, just rolling out of bed, going right to your knees and just thanking the Lord and, you know, praying for a lot of people. And I would see your devotional book. You had a lot of names in there and go through devotions before you did anything. That was pretty encouraging to see.
Well, it was you guys that put me on my knees every morning. I mean, I would get to my knees, and to this day, I still get on my knees and tell the Lord it's His day. His mercy, His compassions are new. His faithfulness is great. And there's no way I can make it through the day without His power. And I would be fearful to try to start my day off without giving my day totally to the Lord, because as we've been talking here, we do have an enemy, and he wants to defeat not just families. And you think about it. God established the institution of the family right off of creation. He then instituted, when Cain killed Abel, he instituted government to deal with that and take care of those kind of issues and to have leadership there. And then he instituted the church. All three institutions that God established and God set up are in trouble today because Satan has specifically wanted to attack all three. Kevin?
Well, I was just wondering if you said you were fearful of starting your day without spending that time with the Lord. Was there ever a day that maybe you didn't start it off that way and things didn't go according to plan?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Probably the day I remember was trying to think, maybe, Kyle, you had been born at this time. This happened back in Oklahoma. You know, a lot of times on your day off, you kind of want to say, hey, it's my day off. And I got up that morning and I saw my Bible there, and I thought, you know, Lord, I'll get with you later. I got things to do out there. And we'd gotten some dogs. We had a mess in the backyard with holes that they were digging. We had two dogs. And I thought, you know, that'd be just like the Lord to teach me a lesson out here. So I put on high-top tennis shoes to go out and mow the backyard. And I was really cautious as I'm moving that mower around to make sure I didn't step in a hole. And really, that was all in my heart. I mean, I didn't verbalize any of that, but that was a battle that day where I said, God, now today's my day. And as I was backing up and I'm trying to take care of finding those freshly dug landmines by those dogs, there was a new hole there I hadn't discovered. You know, my stepping into that and my ankle totally dislocates. And I am in pain. We lived on a pretty busy street. I'm in pain. I can't get it to pop back in. And I go over to this mimosa tree. I grab hold of the branch. And that thing, would you believe it? It was a big branch. It snaps and lands right on my chest. I'm on my back. My foot's killing me. And those dogs are right in my face, you know, licking me. And I'm screaming for your mom to come and help me. So she helps get the branch. You know, it was a good, heavy branch. And I'm, again, thankful I wasn't hurt any worse. And I went in, and she's trying to help me with my ankle, and she said, "What has happened to you?" And I said, "What's happened to me today is I tried to do this without God today." That's exactly what happened. So did I have days where I said, "God, I don't need you today?" I did. Did I pay for it? Absolutely. And maybe there have been other days that weren't as drastic as that, but I knew I was trying to do it in my own power. And when you think of what we've been told, God said, "I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of power and love and of a sound or a disciplined mind." And the Holy Spirit of God living within us gives us that power to live our life for God and for His glory. And if I think I can do it on my own, I got a very big lesson to learn that day. So thanks for your question, Kevin. It brings back the sensitivity in my own heart when I didn't start the day as I had wanted to. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up. We appreciate you guys being with us. We've talked about several issues, but I hope it's been an encouragement, even to college and teenage young people who possibly could be listening, to put the Lord first, you know, to serve Him. I'll tell you, you'll never regret it. You will never regret serving the Lord and giving Him your life. And that's the one area that I have seen in the last 18 years of ministry, a lack of young people desiring to give God first place. And I asked a Bible college president why that is, and he brought out a great theologian said, if you want to see young people heading into ministry, you usually see it after a major world war. And you think of after World War I, after World War II, the number of people who gave their lives to serve God was just incredible. Young men out of the military, because they had been confronted with death, they had seen death. So I don't know what God's going to do in our country, what He's going to do in our lives, but may we be found faithful to serve Him. And that would be the prayer that your mom and I would have for you boys, is that you'd have a desire to continue to serve God. Keep your eyes fixed on Him, because the enemy will want to distract us. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today on the Word for Life broadcast. And we look forward to what God has in store for you today as we seek to serve Him and to glorify Him in all areas. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.